Joining us right now at PMP Network is Rusty Young, one of the founders of one of the great bands of the 70s, Poco, that's still playing great music even today. Obviously, there's been some changes in the band, Rusty, but the sound is pretty much what you were doing years ago, right?
That's right, Mark. It's great to talk to you. Yeah, there have been changes in the band. You know, a couple of guys in the band left and joined the Eagles, and one guy left and started Loggins and Messina.
Yeah, I mean, come on. They started a couple little bands that had almost no success.
No one's ever heard of, right?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's been great. I always compare it to, like, pruning a tree. It keeps the tree healthy, and I think it's kept the band healthy because it left room for everyone to grow. You know, when someone left, there was a slot that somebody else could fall into.
And sure.
It's been great for the band.
Now, you're originally from where are you from?
Denver? From Colorado.
From Denver, Colorado. So when you were going to school and stuff, were you playing instruments already? Were you musically inclined at a young age?
Yeah, I started playing when I was 6 years old, and I started playing for money when I was 12.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, were either of your parents musicians?
No, it skipped a generation. My grandfather and my grandmother on my dad's side were both musicians in Colorado. And
so did they teach you to play?
No, actually, my grandfather died when my dad was in high school. So I never really got a chance to meet him, but it did skip a generation, and my kids don't play music, so it's skipping again.
That's interesting. Now, so you were playing, what instrument was it that you were playing when you were 12 getting paid for it?
Well, you know, this was a long time ago. I was playing steel guitar.
Mm.
Back in the 50s, when you signed up to play guitar, they started everyone on lap steel, these little steel guitars that you lay on your lap.
Right.
And then they would teach you those for about 6 months or a year, I forget how long. And then they would sell you a guitar, and you'd start on guitar. It was just a way for them, I think, to make some more money.
Mm.
So I started off playing steel guitar, and I really liked it, so I stuck with it.
And, of course, there's no shortage of instruments you play. You do electric and acoustic guitar and banjo and dobro and mandolin, pretty much anything you get your hands on, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, growing up there in Colorado, you learned pretty much to play everything if you wanted to work.
Well, that's true. So, at 12 years old, I mean, how were you getting paid? What were you in a band at the time?
Yeah. The music teacher that I was going to had a couple other students, and we started a little band, and we would pass the hat. We played on Sunday afternoons in Colorado. The bars closed at 8, so we would play from 4 to 8 o'clock on Sunday, and we would pass the hat, and my dad would go around and pass the hat, and I would make, I'd make $10, and for, you know, in the 50s, $10 for a 12-year-old kid was a lot of money, and so it was really great. I had a great childhood.
So then you moved to L.A. What prompted you to move?
Well, a friend of mine from Colorado went out with a band called The Poor to become famous, rich and famous in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And the bass player in The Poor was Randy Meisner, you know, who later was in Poco and then went on to be in the Eagles.
Right.
My friend Miles, who had been, you know, since we were kids, we've been friends, went out as their roadie. And he got hooked up. They opened the show for the Buffalo Springfield at the Whiskey A Go-Go in the 60s. And it turns out the Buffalo Springfield hired my friend Miles to work for him. And when they were doing the Last Time Around album, which was the last album they recorded, Richie wanted a steel guitar for his song Kind Woman. And my friend Miles said, listen, I know you know, a great steel guitar player. Let me give him a call. So I flew out to Los Angeles to play on the Last Time Around record, and I had a couple of auditions. One was for the Flying Burrito Brothers. A couple of auditions to go to, and a couple of records to play on. And that's how I just never left L.A.
Wow. Now, so you were in, you know, we should mention that Richie Furay is the Richie we're talking about.
Yeah.
And the album you played on was actually the final Buffalo Springfield album, right?
Yes, that's correct. They were pretty much broken up at the time, although they did do a couple of shows afterwards, but they weren't really recording together at that time. They were each just turning in their own things for that album. So that's when Jim Messina and Richie and I, we had a lot in common musically. And, you know, they needed a new band, and so we got to talking, and we had some ideas on, you know, making this country rock sound and expanding on what Richie was doing, really, and taking it more country rock. And that's what we did. The three of us got together, and we auditioned other people to be in the band to try and figure out what Poco was going to be. And we had Graham Parsons came and auditioned for a week or so. Greg Allman was in the band for a couple of weeks.
Wow.
And we tried all different kinds of combinations until we came up with the one that we felt was right.
Now, during this time, were you writing music yourself?
No, I wasn't. I learned from Richie and Neil Young used to come over. You know, two of our, Jimmy and George, our drummer, played on Neil's first solo record. And Neil used to come over to Richie's house, and he'd sit down and play his new songs. And it was just such an, you know, it was such a writing and musical environment that I just kind of soaked it up.
I guess you did, because you wrote and sang Poco's first number one hit, Crazy Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I mean, that must have been just like a shock to you, and you say, wow, hey, I'm a songwriter now, too.
Yeah, I started writing before that, but for some reason that song just, and it was written in 20 minutes. That song, the first time I played it for people, everyone loved it, and it changed my life.
Mm. What was it? Did you remember writing it, and was it something that did you have a hook in your head, or how did that come to your mind?
I was working in the house. I was working on a wall, paneling on a wall, and something about the rhythm. And I always have a guitar close, and all of a sudden it just came to me, and in the rhythm of the hammering and all that. And I sat down, and I'd already had some words, you know, that I'd been thinking of, tonight I'm going to break away, just wait and see. I already had those words, but I didn't know what to do with them, and then all of a sudden the whole song just fell out.
That album, of course, that it was on, was Legend, was called, became Legendary. It was a multi-platinum album in 79. So at that point now, you guys are big time.
Right.
And all the Buffalo Springfield stuff's forgotten about it. It's now Poco. What was it like for you at this point to be part of something so successful?
Well, it was a little strange because, you know, we'd been together for 10 years when Crazy Love hit. And we'd never had a hit record. We'd never had a gold record or never had a top 10 single or anything like that. So it was a little strange, you know, and everyone wants to be your friend. But at the same, you know, at the same time, it feels great because you know you're doing something right, and it was nice too because there'd been a lot of talk about, well, Poco was nothing without Randy Meisner or without Jim Messina or without Richie Furay. Every time somebody left the band, it would be the kiss of death. Everyone would say, well, that's it for them, and so it was gratifying that we had our greatest success when the band was really me and Paul Cotton. It was the two of us made that record.
Right, and Paul Cotton also wrote Heart of the Night as well.
Right, which was a hit, too.
Yeah.
And so it was gratifying in that way. It sort of validated our contribution to the band, you know, because it was a little frustrating when people thought that we didn't have much of a part to play in the band, and they gave everyone else, you know, the credit.
Where did the name Poco come from?
We used to play under a different name every night when we first got together, and we were playing at a club called the Troubadour in L.A., and we would draw names. Everyone would put in their favorite name in a hat, and then somebody would draw the name out, and we'd play under that name that night. And it changed all the time, which was not exactly a great idea. But our manager at the time loved the cartoon strip Pogo, and he actually looked like Pogo. And he put that in the hat. We drew it out one night, and we were playing as Pogo. And a bunch of record companies came down, and they liked us, and they decided they wanted to sign us. And so we were kind of stuck with Pogo. And then we were playing a concert at the Anaheim Convention Center in Los Angeles. And Walt Kelly, who wrote the cartoon strip, served us with papers on stage saying we couldn't use that name. So we changed it to Pogo instead because we thought maybe the record companies would remember who we were.
You know? Wow.
And we liked it because it didn't really mean anything.
Yeah. But that's kind of weird, though, because, I mean, you know, the guy, you would think he'd be thrilled to have a rock group named after his comic strip.
Well, you know, at the same time, the Archies had hit, and they had a big hit, and I think he thought he could put together a group called Pogo and maybe have a hit record.
I got it. Well, he lost out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where is he now?
it's hard to believe that Running Horse is the 20th album you guys have put out. That's not even including all the greatest hits packages and stuff.
Right. Yeah, something.
Since I haven't heard Running Horse, I'm assuming that it's very good. What kind of differences would people sell? If they haven't heard you since 1979, for instance, mm-hmm. would they be able to recognize the Pogo sound? And what kind of music are you playing? Is it the same kind of country music, country rock type of stuff?
Well, people that have heard this CD tell me that it's what they would expect from a Pogo record. It's hard for us to get away from being what we are,
mm-hmm.
and the voices are the same, and we pretty much write the same kind of material, and I'm playing all those instruments, you know, banjo and mandolins and steel guitars, and so I think it's what you'd expect from a Pogo record. It sounds really great. We worked with a great engineer and in a great studio. That, you know, the quality is of the recording is as good as anything there is, and so I mean we're real happy with it.
Are you happy with the lineup you have now, too? Tell us about who's on the band right now in Pogo.
Yeah, it's a cool little four-piece band. I always loved the band when it's a four-piece band. It's George Grantham on drums. Now, George has been our drummer since 1968. And Paul Cotton, who joined in 1970 when Messina left the band. And myself and Jack Sundrut, who's a friend of ours lives in Nashville, and he's actually played in Pogo since 1985. He did like the reunion tour when Richie Furay couldn't come out and play anymore. The Legacy tour, Jack took his place, and he's been in the band, in and out of the band for quite a few years now.
Now, Sundra is pretty well known as a writer in Nashville. Doesn't he write music, a lot of music?
Right. Yeah. He had one number one hit that I know of. He's got a lot of songs cut and been nominated for, you know, different writing awards and all that. But he did have a number one hit. Yeah.
So who's doing most of the writing? Are you guys all writing at this point?
Jack's a great writer. So all three of us, we shared the writing on the album, and between the three of us.
Hmm. Now, have any of the songs on the CD been released as a single?
Yes, a song called "If Your Heart Needs a Hand." And it's getting airplay, so we've got our fingers crossed.
Mm. Now, what label is it on for folks who want to pick it up?
The best way to get it, really, is to go to the website, which is www.poconet, like coconut, but poconet.com. And on that website, you can order it. And that's probably the best way to get it. And plus, it's a fun website to visit. You know, then you can also get T-shirts and stuff like that. The Paul Cotton action figure, which is our biggest seller.
Now, are you going to be touring, or have you been touring in support of this thing?
That was a joke, Mark.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
Right by it. Yeah, we've been playing a lot.
Yeah, tell us some of the places you've been playing. Have you been around the whole country or around the world?
Actually, we haven't left the United States yet on this tour. They haven't released it in Europe yet, so we're waiting for that. And then we'll go over there. There's talk of it, but it hasn't really happened yet. But the most exciting thing is... I think is in February the 20th in California we're going to be shooting a live DVD and CD, and so that's pretty exciting. Richie's going to be on it, and we're going to have some friends come and play with us, and so that's the biggest fun thing on the calendar.
Now, do you see Jim at all, or Randy?
I talked to Jimmy yesterday, actually.
Really?
I don't see him all that often. He lives out by Michael Jackson out there in the country. And so I haven't seen him in probably a year or two. We end up seeing each other when we're on the road, and he hasn't been touring much. But he says he's going out. him and two girl backup singers.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds like Jimmy.
Now, talk about girl singers. Are you married or happy?
I'm happy, yes.
Yeah. But you have a couple of children, right?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Neither of them musically inclined at all, huh?
No, I got one of those computer kids. Yeah, he's.
How about artistically inclined? Are they artistic?
Not really.
Wow.
The girl's interested in boys, and the boy's interested in computers.
I thought you were going to say girls, but, yeah. Computers seem to be every kid. I mean, my kid, as soon as they come in the house, they want to go and instant message everybody.
Oh, yeah, it's really something. He's taking a college course, on computer science, and he's doing extremely well. Like, that's the gift he has.
That's a good gift, when they made fun of Bill Gates years ago and called him a geek.
Yeah.
He got the last laugh, didn't he?
That's right, and I'm hoping he'll support his old man in his old age.
So. Mm. Now, when Poco was at its peak, and you guys were touring around the world, what were some of the places that you can remember that were just amazing? I know you went to Europe and Japan and all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I usually picked up some kind of a souvenir, even if it was just like right next to me now, I have an ashtray that was at this hotel that we stayed at the foot of the Eiger in Switzerland. And you could go out on this patio and look up and see these waterfalls coming off of the Eiger. And, that was Switzerland, I thought, was an amazing place. And Italy was real. Milan was an amazing place. The churches there, the buildings there, that have been there forever, it's just really unbelievable. And Ireland, all just like everyone says, it's just so beautiful and so green. Those are great spots. I enjoyed Japan. We got on that train that goes a million miles an hour, and that was a lot of fun seeing the country from that bullet train.
Mm.
And those places, the islands we were in, the Grand Caymans, just a while ago. And
I love the Cayman Islands.
Yeah, it was really neat. We were there for about 10 days. It was really cool. Those places. Paris is nice, pretty much what you'd expect Paris to be.
Paris Hilton's pretty nice, too.
And Paris Hilton is very nice.
Because I can just imagine what it's like to just go all over the world and just tour and with groupies everywhere. It's got to be a lot of fun and kind of exhausting as well.
It truly was a blessing because, a little kid from Denver, Colorado, I never figured I'd get, out of that 4 or 5 state area. So it was really neat. And think historic things, like we were in Germany when the wall was coming down. And it was really exciting to be in the middle of it and hear that, how all the Germans were, what their attitude about it was. And, all the things, 9/11, we were in the Cayman Islands and couldn't get home. So there have been a lot of really interesting experiences, so.
Mm. Now, when you guys were starting around in the late 60s, could you have even imagined that you'd still be touring at 2004?
No, never would have thought that. Never would have thought that. But
and not only touring, not like playing old songs, but actually generating new stuff.
Yeah, it really is neat. And there's a lot of the bands from the 70s out there playing now. I think it's really cool. And sometimes you'll get somebody who'll say, why are you still doing it? And that always flabbergasts me, because I can't imagine them going after Ray Charles, mm-hmm. or B.B. King and saying, why are you still doing it? You do it because that's what you've always done and what you love to do, and you would do it for free. It's your life, and you can't just stop being creative. And so it's better now than it ever was because, we're older now, and there aren't any of that young man stuff that goes on, on who's going to have the next hit single and who gets along with who and, who's, fooling around with whose girlfriend. And, the four of us are all best friends. And it's really fun to go out and play. And it's really fun when we get to do stuff with Richie, which we're trying to do more of because he's such a dear soul.
And I'm sure it brings back memories as well.
Yeah, it does. And, of course, we did some touring last summer with Richie and Chris Hillman. And so that was the most fun. And we were supposed to be doing on a tour of those three acts now, but Richie's got some hip problems and is having surgery, so he can't go out. But we figure this summer we'll be doing some more shows with Richie and Chris, and that's really a neat package.
And for folks out there who want to know what's going on with Poco, go to PocoNut.com, PocoNut.com, and I assume that the schedule's up there and all kinds of stuff, right?
It sure is, yep.
Yeah. Well, good luck, and keep putting out that great music. I look forward to eventually hearing Running House.
I'm sure you
Running
get
Horse,
it
and I'm sure it's a good CD. I love the music of Poco, and I'm sure you're still putting good stuff out.
Well, thanks, Mark. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's good talking to you, too, and maybe we'll talk again sometime.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.